England Patriots are 1-5 for the first time since 1995 when I was a mere 29 years old. And we will talk to Gerard Mayo about that and other things coming up in just about 15 minutes. This is Rich. Rich, good morning.
Hey, good morning. So we can all agree that the Patriots organization has been subpar from the ownership to the front office to the coaching, hands down. However, there is a silver lining, and I want to share a stat that against those people that are saying pump the brakes on Drake May. So Bo Nix, Caleb Williams, and Jaden Daniels have played each six games so far. So they've played 18 games. They scored 20 touchdowns, passing touchdowns. That's 1.1 touchdown per game it averages to. Drake May is playing with the worst team, the worst roster in the league, and he throws three touchdowns.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I listen, I don't know that there's brake pumping required, as the texter said earlier. I just, now you had Boomer on this show an hour ago saying this is by far the worst roster in the NFL.
Right.
And so you're a ways away from fixing that problem. I mean, I guess.
But they knew this. So, like, the front office and specifically the ownership of this organization would have you believe that this is Bill Belichick's fault. And let me say, don't ever say I don't defend Bill Belichick. They had an offseason to fix it. The Patriots, at the end of Cam Newton's year, we all agree that roster was awful, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
2020, it was a disaster. They spent $250 million. They got three more wins. They won 10 games. They made the playoffs and supported a rookie quarterback the way they should have. 4 years later, they don't. And people all want to blame the money and say, oh, look at all the bad deals. Jonnu Smith. Well, you got Hunter Henry and Matthew Judon, two pretty damn good players.
Yeah.
And you elevated a roster from where it was to being on the cusp of contention, making the playoffs and losing. This offseason, they knew the roster sucked. Whoever's fault it is, I don't care right now. They were in charge of this roster. They did nothing to improve the areas that needed the most improvement. And that's what's so frustrating about everything right now.
Since they didn't do anything, can that lead you to believe that the plan that they kept talking about was that Drake wasn't going to see any playing time this season?
Courtney is spot on. That's a conspiracy theory. Let's go down that.
But that's ridiculous.
No, Courtney is spot on, and I'm glad you brought up because I was thinking it. Maybe they felt like, all right, the free agent market ain't crazy heavy. We know we're going to draft a rookie quarterback after free agency. Let's sit him because there's really nobody out there that we want. We're not going to play him all season. And then, so going down this wormhole with you, and I'll go down it with you, my expectations are this offseason – you spend a ton of money, mm-hmm. and you got go out
okay,
get all.
But that doesn't allow for why they were all in, as you tell us all the time on Brandon Ayuk.
Well, Curtis was right. It was just smoke and mirrors.
No. Yep.
Okay. Now you're flipping the script.
Flipping the script. I'm just going now. I'm trying to figure out a way to, like, okay, you know,
they're going to have a high draft pick this season. So I just going in. If the plan all along was that they were not going to have Drake May play, then it would make sense why they didn't spend it all this season. That's the only thing I can think of, because if you've got a guy, the number three quarterback, that you're ready to start playing this season, and all signs were pointing to that because they said he outplayed Jacoby during preseason, during practice, during his reps, he was much better. So you wouldn't set it up that way.
Yeah,
anyone in their right mind.
Correct.
This is Rob from Swampscott. What's up, Rob?
Hi, folks. How are you doing?
Great. How are you?
Okay, I'll tell you, you're going to yell at me, but I know that Drake May did well yesterday. I'm psyched that he threw three touchdowns, but I would take anybody's action and give them great odds, because I know I'm going to wind up taking their money, that he doesn't get injured this season and he's done. He is going to get maimed.
Oh, God. I can't do this. Rob,
hold on.
Rob,
let me
Rob.
Finish. Let me
Why
finish.
Isn't Jacoby Brissett maimed?
Why isn't – well, because he wasn't running around like Drake May was yesterday.
So Drake May's ability to run around eludes contact, doesn't create it.
No, actually, when you think about that, as opposed to just sitting in the pocket and taking the sack, when you take off, you're now getting – hit by linebackers at full speed, and hopefully it's not a knee. But let's not go there. Let me just go back.
You
I called to talk about Elliot Wolf. I called to talk about Elliot Wolf, okay, because he is the constructor of this current roster. Am I incorrect?
No, you're right.
Okay, so any executive who goes into the season with that roster thinking that it is even journeyman-like and that they can do the yeoman's work and come up with like a 7-10 record is out of their mind and out of their depth. I mean, look at some of the injuries that are going on across the NFL, and teams are still able to win with who they have. The Patriots starters, granted, their defense is banged up at this point, and you don't want to be a captain or you're hurt, but their offense is so horrible. I mean, beginning to end, with the exception of Drake May, their offense is horrible.
Thank you for the call.
When Lamar Jackson gets hurt, is it running out of the pocket, Shime, or in the pocket?
In the pocket. Actually, Curtis, the majority of quarterback injuries happen in the pocket.
So, like, this new – I find it so infuriating that people wake up every day regurgitating things they hear without any personal thought whatsoever. Like, this Rob's nice guy, Swamps, gets a lovely town. I'm sure he's done well for himself. But, like, have an individual independent thought. Like, work through the understanding of a thesis and say, okay, I'm going to just say that he would be hurt if he started because that's what everybody with the Patriots would have you believe when the guy that was starting with the Patriots isn't hurt. So, like, what are we doing here?
Yeah,
there is a chance that everybody gets hurt. Of course, it's football.
But that's been the narrative from guys who played the game.
Yeah.
But it's people that are afraid, that are fearful that the roster around him will not be elevated properly by a young quarterback. And it's just the only way you learn is by doing.
Yeah.
I think, Courtney, I have to give you credit because I think as I start to look back and because we asked the question, why didn't they do anything this offseason? And Mayo's kind of alluded to it very off the cuff. It was really not guys out there that we felt like we wanted to pay. Mm-hmm. So I think part of it was like them going, and the plan was we're not going to play him because there's nobody worth going out there to get to put around him this season. And almost like a throwaway year in the sense of hey, we're going to sit him the whole season.
All right. Well, we could talk about that, I'm sure, with Gerard Mayo coming up momentarily. He will join us shortly. Right now, Courtney, and what is trending?
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by the 99. The Patriots fall to the Texans 41-21. It was May Day. Drake completed 20 of 33 passes for 243 yards and 3 touchdowns. He did have 2 interceptions in this one. And Gerard Mayo really focused on the bad play from the defense. He wasn't thrilled with that. Here's what he had to say after the loss.
Defensively, I would say just the fundamentals of just tackling and our run fits have to improve. They have to improve. And I told all those guys, I said, you should feel like crap today. Like, you should feel like crap. You take away those 2 long runs. We had 2 runs over 50 yards. I mean, that's just not winning football.
Wiggy, I have an idea for Mayo. He can do what Michael did, the fundamentals of tackling.
Yep.
Tonight we'll see the Bills and Jets in Monday Night Football. 8:15 kickoff. We'll have the game right here on EEI. Coverage starts at 7:30. The Bruins got another win at home over the weekend, an overtime win on Saturday over the Kings. They have a matinee matchup with the Panthers today, 1 p.m. puck drop. And we have our NLCS and ALCS matchups. NLCS has the Dodgers up 1 on the Mets, and over to the AL, the Guardians kick off their series against the Yankees in the Bronx tonight at 7:30.
What a sports Monday. You got 2 LCS games and Jets, Bills Monday night.
Yep. And cozy up to irresistible new fall favorites at the 99 restaurant, like the freshly baked home-style chicken pot pie packed with chicken and topped with a buttery, flaky crust, or the creamy short rib mac and cheese. You gotta love the nines. That's what's trending. Here's Curtis with your weather.
Or if you're Greg, you can check out the brand new season of Outer Banks.
Oh, I can't wait to watch it. I need a lot of time.
Yeah. Today?
No.
Okay. Does it drop? Do you know?
Oh, it's already dropped.
New Outer Banks dropped?
Yeah, like a week ago. Yeah.
I'm behind. I'm so sorry.
We got to get
53 degrees cloudy after 562.
Sherrod Mayo is brought to you by Northeast Men's Health, the experts in treating the sexual health issues of men, with 5 New England offices, or at northeastmenshealth.com. By Land Rover of Norwood, by John Sewer and Drain Cleaning, the name to know when your drains don't flow, and by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart or grocery store to add extra deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes this football season. Hello, Coach.
How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing well.
Not likely that you're going to win a football game when you turn the ball over 4 times.
No, that's right. You know, you turn the ball over 4 times, it's tough to walk away with a win.
We were talking earlier about penalties. I know you talked about this a little bit post-game, but 12 last week, 9 this week, over 100 yards. What do you do to fix that?
It finally settled down in the second half as far as penalties are concerned. I would say in the first half, I think we had 7 penalties there, and we just got to continue to chip at the rock and be a more disciplined football team.
What did you see? Drake May led the offense to season high when it came to points, touchdowns. What did you see from him yesterday?
You know, offensively, you know, early in the game, you know, we started slow, but when he settled in, he was able to really take control of the offense and push the ball down the field. You saw him make plays with his legs. You saw him make plays with his arms. And, you know, and I don't want to forget about our center, you know, Ben Brown, who he came in there to start. He was here for 5 days, and I thought he did a great job yesterday. To only be here 5 days and to go out there and play like that is definitely special.
Gerard, one of the things that I really liked watching Drake was he didn't make kind of like the same mistakes late in the game that he did make early in the game. And so I guess from watching that, it's always good to see guys trend in the right direction when it comes to not repeating the same mistakes. Did you kind of get that same takeaway?
Yeah, 100%. You know, we always talk about not being repeat error guys, and that's at every position. And you could see that Drake is not one of those guys.
Hindsight being 20/20. What you saw yesterday, do you wish you started him earlier?
Look, we came into the season with the plan, and you guys have heard about the plan all the time.
You haven't mentioned that before.
And I would say, you know, for the plan, I thought it was just, you know, we always had to try to put the team in the best position to win games. Now, in saying that, historically, look, Jacoby has not turned the ball over and was able to go out there and operate. We knew that Drake was trending to be the starting quarterback, and this was, you know, we felt like this was the time to do it, and he gave our team the best chance to win.
Greg brings up the turnovers, and I know that's not something you want to see, but when it comes to Drake specifically, the 2 interceptions, the strip sack, is that a nerve thing? Did you think that he was nervous going into that game? Is that a mistake that's made because you're nervous about your first one?
I wouldn't say nervous, but I think any athlete or in any profession, really, when you're on a big stage, you're going to have a little bit of nerves.
Right.
Now, in saying that, the one overthrow, I mean, that was obviously disappointing, and then the tip pass on the screen. Other than that, I thought he did a good job going through his reads, getting the ball out on time for the most part, and running the offense.
Gerard, when you look at now with his ability, is this something that maybe we see Alex Van Pelt say, okay, we're going to try to utilize his legs a little bit more with more designed, you know, RPOs, or whether it's designed bootlegs and nakeds, or maybe he can maybe open up the playbook in other areas because of just his athletic skill set versus Jacoby?
Yeah, absolutely. And I know, you know, people talk about, you know, we need more creative plays and things like that. Look, going back to the offensive line, we still have not settled on an offensive line. I know the focus is always on the quarterback and what he can understand, mm-hmm. and Drake is a very smart person. Now, in saying that, you know, it's not just him out there on the field. It's also, you know, other guys out there that need to be on the same page. But I do think going forward, hopefully the O-line kind of settles down, even though we lost, you know, low yesterday. Hopefully when that starts to settle down, we can start adding new plays in there, and that comes just from practicing together with the same group.
Sure. So with a better, I don't want to say better, but an offensive line that is played together consistently, you feel like you can get more creative when it comes to the play calling.
100%.
Yeah.
Gerard, but just
but again, it's not just what Drake knows. It's what everyone knows. And going back, not to use his name again, but going back to Ben Brown, I mean, how much stuff can you put in 5 days and expect him to go out there and perform?
You said today that you need to do a better job of supporting the rookie quarterback on offense.
That's right.
And that began this offseason. The last time the Patriots took a quarterback in the first round, they spent $250 million that offseason, brought in a bunch of guys, Hunter Henry obviously still on the team from that offseason. why do you enter with this much question marks on the offensive line and at the elite positions of offense, knowing you had to support the rookie quarterback?
Yeah, look, I mean, if you look at free agency or through the draft, we're always trying to improve our roster. Now, in saying that, we had, you know, a lot of holes on the roster that we felt coming out of the draft that we addressed. Now, in free agency, we still felt like we signed the best offensive lineman in Mike Onwenu, and then re-signing some of our own players, which was definitely part of it. Now, once again, look, this isn't a one-year thing in my mind. It's going to take time to continue to build out the roster, and that's how it is.
I know you said post-game you were disappointed in the defense. Afterwards, Devon Godchow said that it didn't look like the D was playing with pride out there. Is that a problem for you?
No, I don't think it. Well, first of all, you know, I'm not going to tell those guys what to say, and that's one man's opinion. What I will say is that the defense went out there after going back and watching the film, you know, big plays aside, which I understand that's part of it, they played okay. Now, going back to playing complementary football, putting special teams in there as well, like, we just didn't do a good job there. Now, defensively, again, they were put in some tough situations where they were already, you know, with the turnovers starting on the plus side of the field. And, you know, we had the one sudden change stop, and then, it's got to be better.
But you're not concerned. I mean, if a guy says, I feel like we're not playing with pride, you're not concerned about that.
No, I mean, well, look, when he watches the film, he'll see that the guys were still out there flying around. Like, we went into halftime, it was 14-7. Came out of halftime getting the ball. You couldn't ask to be in a better – well, obviously you always want to be ahead, but 14-7 coming out the second half, watching Drake start to trend and not making those repeat mistakes. I thought the guys had energy, and they went out there and tried to do their best.
You brought up the plan again, and we were having this conversation before you came in, so I'm just going to ask you point blank. Was the plan that you guys were not going to play Drake this season, and that's why maybe the pieces around in the offense, the offensive line, you didn't really fill the spots that you needed to because you were going to go with Jacoby for the full season?
Look, as far as the plan's concerned, there are definitely different factors that go into that. Now, in saying that, I thought, you know, from a roster standpoint, just in general, especially with our younger players, we had to see what we have this year, no matter what the record is. And when we get out of this season, we need to know exactly what we have as from a talent standpoint and then fill the holes that we need to fill. So just to answer your question, I mean, I don't know when Drake was going to play. Look, if we were undefeated at this point in time, he could ride it out a little bit longer if we were protecting the quarterback at this time, maybe. But in saying that, I think you got to get a guy like that out there.
Why was the roster in such bad shape entering this offseason?
You tell me.
I mean, he almost said what he. But.
Not doing that one.
One of the things that, like, as I watch, that gets a little frustrating is the defense. I expected them to be, you know, top 10 defense, and at times they show that, but then at other times you brought it up. You have two rushes of over 50 yards where, right, like, if the guy didn't have a flag on it, they wouldn't be able to grab that. Are you as frustrated knowing that there are these lapses in the game, especially defensively, from a defense that we all feel like is better than that? And what's the problem that may lead to some of those lapses where they look great and then they look, like, really bad?
Yeah, not to talk, you know, look, injuries happen all the time. One thing I would say is, you know, you lose a guy like Bentley in the middle of the defense, it's going to be kind of a blow to the team, a captain for us. You lose a guy like Barmore, who hasn't played all year, who's one of the most disruptive players in the league. You lose, you know, the safeties, which I feel like we have, the you know, when they're out there playing, the best safeties in the league. And when they're not out there, look, other guys have to step up, and that's part of the growth.
How was Drake after the game, you speaking to him? What's one thing that you hope he takes from his first game?
Yeah, Drake was – he was great, man. Look, his attitude and just mentality overall, it's kind of not Gronkish. You know what I mean? Like, kind of goofy, like a little bit goofy, but he was pumped, but obviously disappointed in losing the football game. And, look, we all look forward to seeing him continue to grow.
We talked about penalties earlier. You don't have to be specific and get in trouble, but just in general – at least from my perspective, one questionable call in the end zone and then a clear no call. Is that frustrating to you?
Yeah, it's very frustrating for me. Now, in saying that, look, they made the calls. And you can yell at them all you want to, but the call's already been made. There was a little confusion, too, even at the end of the half. You know, was it a catch? Was it not a catch for those guys? And I sat there, and they told me it was a catch. And so, like, we had to accept the penalty. It was just that whole operation was just all over the place, in my opinion. But once again, not being critical of the referees.
No, right.
The disclaimer.
No one's perfect. I think when you start to, like you said, look at this team and the development, you know, offensively, defensively, special teams, how do you feel like overall, I know your record's not what you'd like it to be, but how do you feel like overall week to week maybe you see the development of the culture that you're trying to implement changing, buying in? What's your assessment through the first, you know, 6 weeks of the season?
I think we have buy-in. The one thing I would say is just, look, the penalties are a frustrating thing, and that's not part of what we're trying to build. We want to be a smart, tough, dependable football team, and we have to continue to work towards that.
The question of the week for Gerard Mayo, brought to you by Hellman's, where you can get Hellman's at your local Walmart or grocery store to add extra deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes this football season. As a head coach taking a team to London for the first time, what are the issues when it comes to, if there are any, to preparing a team when you're traveling overseas?
Yeah, I think you always have to take the time difference into consideration, and you know, when you fly out there, when you go, you know, do you go for the week? Do you go a couple of days in advance? Like, those are all considerations. One thing I will say is the NFL does a good job with this, you know, supporting those international games, and they're more involved in that than they are obviously the local ones.
Is that a bit of an advantage for the Jaguars being out there all week to get more adjusted when it comes to game time?
I mean, I don't know. To me, whoever wins the game is who executed their game plan the best. I mean, that's what it comes down to. And going back to the culture and mentality, like, your mentality, I don't care where we play, we need to go out there and play well.
Because you may see Mac Jones under center this week.
Yeah, look, and I have nothing but love. Look, I have nothing but love for Mac Jones, and you know, wish him nothing
but
the best.
Do you ever talk to him?
I haven't talked to him in a long time.
Does he ever reach? I didn't know if he reached out at all.
Just on the, because it's the last time, because the plan has now been put into place. The plan with Drake May and how we arrived here. You said earlier that had you been undefeated, maybe he would have been able to not reach the field as of yet. So, what was it based on the offense's ineptitude, or was it more based on what he had learned in the first 6 weeks?
It was more based on seeing what we had up front with the offensive line.
So if you had handled the offensive line in the offseason, there's the chance that Drake May could have started week one.
You can keep going back to that, but once again, handling the offensive line, what does that mean? Like, if you have rookies up there, which we drafted offensive linemen as well, and you can talk about free agent linemen, which I think someone said a couple weeks ago, but who are those guys? And this is what we have, and this is what we're going to play with.
And kind of touching a little bit on this, because the penalty situation prior to a couple weeks ago, I mean, you were one of the fewest, you know, penalized teams in the NFL. Do you feel like some of the penalties might just be a little bit of lack of focus throughout the whole game, consistently, like having those kind of mental breakdowns, which might lead to some of the penalties that you're seeing, because you've put a pretty good team out there as far as penalty-wise, yeah. You know, just in these past couple of weeks, you suffered some penalties.
No, that's right. And I would say the more frustrating ones are the pre-snap penalties or, you know, the false start. Even yesterday, the first play of the game, it's so frustrating that, you know, we're in the season at this point. First play of the game.
But is that a focus thing you think from players? I mean, you played the game.
On the pre-snap penalties. Yeah. Now on the post-snap penalties, like, some of those are questions.
Yeah, but that's what I mean, more of the pre-snap. And I think, because we can always, as a fan or somebody who's played, you can always, like, say, all right, that holding penalty is questionable. But the pre-snap, I feel like that's a lack of a player not focusing in on the situation on every single play.
You're talking to a guy who knows pre-snap penalties.
No, I was very good. Not a lot of penalties.
Very disciplined.
I was very disciplined.
Not what Dante said.
No, Dante will tell you. There were two things I was, disciplined and smart. When
and loud.
Because I didn't have the athletic, I didn't have the measurables to be able to keep it.
Do you notice
that throughout the game it becomes a lack of focus by players?
Well, it goes back to, just look at this past game. In the first half, that was where the majority of our penalties happened. In the second half, we didn't have as many. So, I mean, I think that kind of answers it.
any kind of a motivational trip to the Churchill War Rooms or anything planned in London for the fellas?
Nah, our focus is on Jacksonville, so that's
no sightseeing.
No sightseeing. Everyone, go to your room.
No double decker.
Go to your room.
No double decker bus.
You've done.
Yeah. All right. Gerard. Anybody else?
No, I thought you were going to make an Abbey Road reference because of your rock history.
Yeah, the Beatles. You could go.
Are you guys going out?
I don't think we have it in our budget.
Yeah,
we could. We need
more commercials. I just sat here through 30 commercials. Somebody got to do their job around here.
If you got room on the plane, we would jump on a spare spot or
no
two.
No room for you guys.
Next
All right.
time.
Well, exciting. It seems like a new era when it comes to quarterback underway here. Yeah, so
I'm excited too. I'm excited for just our team in general, getting better every week.
All right, Gerard Mayo.
Thanks, Gerard. Thank you very much.
All right, that's Gerard Mayo. We got to take a quick break. We are at Gillette Stadium, Patriots Monday. We will be back with a new feature, which I am calling Extra Mayo. That is coming up. And our conversation with the coach brought to you by Cross Insurance. Cross Insurance, official insurance broker of the New England Patriots. Patriots Monday all day long here on Boston Sports Original WEEI. Patriots are 1-5 and heading to London and get ready to face the 1-5 Jacksonville Jaguars on Sunday. Curtis, you want to thank a guy who came by to say hello and bring some stuff for James this morning?
Yeah, Sean from the Foxborough Police Department had been in touch with me the last couple weeks and wanted to drop these off because he saw James collecting them, and these are so cool. Foxborough Police brand new patch with Pat Patriot on it.
So cool.
And a couple challenge coins and this. It's just, people are so kind.
They are.
So awesome.
They really are.
Those that sacrifice the most are often the most generous.
Mm-hmm. Any nuggets from Gerard Mayo?
I do not think that they had a plan to start Drake May this season at all. I think the plan was that they were going to go with Jacoby Brissett, start to finish of the season.
Yeah, and I think they, and Courtney, you're right. And the other thing, I think that Mayo got kind of the wool pulled over him a little bit in the fact that they felt like Brissett was going to be able to hold down the fort.
Yeah.
And, hey, maybe he can come out and win us 7-8 games because that's what Alex Van Pelt and Elliot Wolf might have been selling to him. But, yeah, I agree that.
But why did they start him then? Why did they get rid of the plan?
Why did they get rid of what plan?
To not play
the plan,
Drake
To not May. Play him all year, well, if because, that was the plan.
Because I think that the public uproar probably got to Kraft.
Well,
and then it trickled
down. But didn't they expect the fans to
be
upset?
No, I'm not talking about the fans. I think their plan of winning football games went it completely fell off a cliff after they realized, wait a second, we can't win with Brissett. And I don't mean win to get into the playoffs, but to at least be a competitive team.
But if they thought they'd be competitive with Brissett, they'd be more competitive with Drake May.
No, but I don't think that.
I just don't know.
I don't understand.
You'd have to show me a period in history of the league where you drafted a quarterback at number 3 and your plan was to sit him for the entire year.
Yeah, I think
the guy that you're sitting behind is Jacoby Brissett.
Yeah. Not behind Aaron Rodgers, but behind Jacoby Brissett.
I think
what did you guys take away from his response?
That they did an awful job this offseason and they weren't going to get they were not going to get Drake May injured until they had to get an opportunity to get him on the field. That the
offense, what changed now?
The team's performance was so bad with Jacoby Brissett, they had to put Drake May on the field.
So they don't care about him getting injured anymore?
It's not that they felt that he couldn't operate the offense.
But, yeah, that's what I just said. That's exactly.
But they were going to play him this year. Of course they were going to play him this year.
No, I think they weren't going to. If they were going to play him, it was going to be like week 14, 15. It was going to be very short at the end of the year.
I think Gerard Mayo won a battle with Elliot Wolf and Alex Van Pelt to say, I'm not coaching this offense that's going to do this to me anymore.
That's why I said my first thing was I think he got the wool pulled over his eyes.
Why did they play him against the Jets then?
Oh, I think it was just like mop-up duty to throw him in there for a little bit.
It's the same thing.
Yeah, but it wasn't a whole game, though. Yeah, you can go still get hurt. But I think Courtney's kind of right to the point where their plan was there wasn't this whole bunch of talent in their minds in the offseason with veteran free agents to bring in. The plan was sit Drake May and Jacoby Brissett can make us competitive. And we're not going to get to the playoffs, but he'll be competitive enough where by the time we do have to play Drake May, we'll only have a couple of weeks left.
I think the biggest change was the injuries to the defense. You couldn't win with your defense. So when Bentley went down, when Barmore was done for the year, when you had the recent issues with Jabril Peppers, there's the Jacoby Brissett way, which is no mistakes and run the ball, You'd have no running back, Ramondre Stevenson. The offensive line sucks, and the defense is gutted. That's why they brought him in.
You're trading turnovers for points, maybe, for a little while with Drake May.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. But you're going to have to win scoring at least 20 points a game. This defense is no longer as good as it was at the start of the
year. And I think that they're starting to see now, kind of based like a little bit off of that, was, well, if the defense was healthy and this is what Drake May can look like, and I think Mayo probably said, and he's in there going, you guys screwed this up because we could have been competitive and won games with Drake May, but you felt like, Elliot, hey, sit this guy for the year, which it looks like you're going to be competitive now against teams that are more on your level. They play Jacksonville. You're going to be a competitive, winnable game.
Well, this week you get Patriots football at 9:30 Sunday morning. And we talked a little bit about this with Boomer Esiason, but Roger Goodell said this week that the Super Bowl could be headed overseas relatively soon. I'm assuming that London would be the number one destination.
Yeah.
Maybe Germany.
Fun fact, they call soccer football.
What time? So that Super Bowl, I'm guessing, would get underway here in America around noon on Super Bowl Sunday.
Oh, no, you started at 6 p.m. in England. Why not?
Okay, so 6 p.m.
in England. I'm not 6 p.m. I'm sorry, like 10 p.m. in England.
10 p.m. in England would
which is 5 o'clock here.
Yeah. Well, it's, yeah.
Or 9:30, you do it at 4:30. Yeah. It's 5 hours to England.
So they would start it late there.
Right.
Are you a fan of it? Or
oh, God,
Boomer,
I think it's
not.
It is a pigs get fed, hogs get slaughtered line for me, where the NFL, you know they're going to do it.
Courtney loves it.
Yeah, we complain so much about how late it is, and we should have a holiday the next day so that kids can stay up and watch the game and not have to go to school, and we don't have to go to work, and blah, blah, blah. Okay, well, here you go, on a silver platter. It's going to be played in London. It's going to be, you know, much earlier. And if you're in Boston, and Wiggy talks about this all the time, and bars are doing last call at 1:30, after a Super Bowl, if you're back when the Patriots were in it, winning them, you'd go to a bar, you'd have half a drink, and they're closing the thing down. Earlier, you got the whole night to celebrate.
The Super Bowl ends at 10 o'clock. That's 4 hours before the bars close.
I think it's stupid because I'm going to have more, because I'm thinking about the Super Bowl for me is about how much fun am I going to have around the environment of the Super Bowl.
You mean when you're there?
When I'm there.
Well, London, Curtis lived in London. It's a great city.
So let me
it's
ask
a great
you, Curtis,
city. Not exactly nightlife. The pubs close at 11.
So that's what Curtis, that's what I'm saying. So when I say we think about the Super Bowl, where am I going to have more fun, Miami or London?
Miami.
Where am I going to have more fun, Atlanta or London?
Oh, Magic City.
Where am I going to have more fun, New Orleans or London?
I've never been, but I hear New Orleans is lovely.
Right, so the people, like, I think the Super Bowl and the NFL, yeah, it's for the viewing of the game, but it's that Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday of all the different parties and everything that's around that. And I don't know. I've never been to London, but am I going to have a good time in London?
I thought London had good nightlife.
Yeah, I'm not the right person to ask, but I would say I would rather lose a Thanksgiving Day game to the UK than the Super Bowl. The Super Bowl is America.
Right.
These cities vie for this game. It's hundreds of millions of dollars for local markets. In England, they don't care.
No.
I'm sorry. Nobody gives a damn. The football game's been on. I watched Bledsoe with the fractured thumb throw a ball to Sean Jefferson in 1998 in the middle of the night with my dad watching Monday Night Football. They had it on then. It's not new to the people. They just don't love it.
Well, I'm going to give Extra Mayo a try here.
Let's do it.
And so Gerard Mayo, we had the opportunity to ask him during a break about a Super Bowl in London overseas, and here's the way that went. All right, Extra Mayo quick with Gerard Mayo. We talked to Boomer Esiason about this earlier. Roger Goodell talking about a Super Bowl being played overseas, maybe in London.
Yeah.
How would you feel about that?
I don't know. That's a tough question. If you're in the Super Bowl, I would love for us to be in the Super Bowl wherever it's being played. So
it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter to me.
But if it was at like 3:30 in the afternoon,
that would be weird. That would be weird.
Kind of weird.
Then you could get a good night's sleep after the game.
Yeah, right. Exactly. He's on your train.
Yeah.
Well,
he likes to be in bed by 8 o'clock.
It's not even that, though. I just think that if it was – and I think that if it goes to London, people are going to travel for it. I think London would actually be a very fun place. People like to go to Super Bowls where they've never been to that location before, if you're somebody who can afford going to a Super Bowl. I just think that it would be different. I don't think that it would ruin the Super Bowl in any way.
What about doing it on the moon?
Courtney,
that's America's game.
Right.
God.
And like who's traveling to London? Be honest.
I'm going.
Okay. You know what? Joe season ticket holder can afford going to London?
Joe season ticket holder can afford going to Miami.
It's not nearly as expensive.
Right. Have you looked at prices?
Guess you can stay in Fort Lauderdale and drive an hour.
Flying to and from Miami, whether it's going into Miami or Fort Lauderdale, prices are over a grand.
Flying to Georgia and drive.
Courtney, you know what you don't have to do? You can get an RV together and drive to Florida. You don't have to fly. You can't do that going to London. And the tickets to London.
Didn't you once famously tell us there was some sort of a tunnel that you could use to get to England?
No. I don't know if there is. Please, let us know. The thing about the Super Bowl, it's a hotel room for the Super Bowl is so expensive. They gas you through the roof.
Yeah.
First off, you got to get a room 3 years out in advance and because they save all. Can you imagine? I don't know what the London hotels
go for
normally.
It's very crazy.
But you're talking one night in
the
London.
The Goring is a lovely hotel.
The London hotels are less expensive than Miami. I'm going to Miami this weekend. I'm going to London next month. My trip to London, less expensive than the one to Miami.
Really?
Seriously?
So, please.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. Really?
Yes.
Do you know about the exchange rate to British pounds?
No, Curtis, but that doesn't really matter. I'm paying American dollars.
My
flights are not in pounds. My hotel room is not in pounds.
If you did a week in Miami and a week in England, I guarantee you you're spending more.
I'm literally doing a weekend in Miami and a weekend in London, back-to-back months, and it is more expensive, flights, hotel, everything in Miami than London.
Who's taking care of Harry?
Right.
Santo's not coming to Miami.
Oh, he's not. Oh,
wow. I've never been to London.
Trip.
So
it's a girls' trip.
Yeah.
So London ain't that expensive.
Is Tommy Tabs involved?
No, it's a girls' trip for our birthdays for Taylor Swift.
All right, we got to go. Yeah. We got to go. Great show, everybody.
Yep. Well, I'm going to London.
I'm going to London,
cheap.
Too. I miss it.
Why not? It's cheap. Great job by Amen Corner, our senior vice president of all things Twitch and video and content. Great job back at the studio, Shime. Awesome. We're back there tomorrow morning at 6. Ty Law on the show tomorrow, but Patriots Monday continues with Jones and Keefe next. Thank you for your patronage.